Blog Talk Radio.
your mouths all over this room. Open up heaven, open up.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
I already did the check. But I know you got to do your own check. My check ain't good enough, huh? Yeah. I'm just joshing over here. Welcome again to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do more than just talk about it. We are about it. And we are alive and well today on this side of heaven. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. And it is, what's today's date?
March the 10th.
March the 10th, yeah. 2021. It is 7:06 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like Terrence said, we're excited to be here. We're glad that you're here with us. And we're excited to see, as always, what the Lord has to say tonight to his people. I'm just believing for the miraculous. I'm believing for some breakthroughs. I am believing for mysteries being solved. I'm believing for truth being revealed. And so I just hope that you agree right along with me.
Amen. It's just, again, always good to know that we serve the God that we serve. And I try to make an intentional effort, but yet still, this is part of my purpose and part of my call to really strengthen your faith, to really grow the body of Christ in faith. I know that's what God uses me and really has me setting my focus on faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if you want to be pleasing in the Lord's sight, you should have faith in God.
Absolutely.
Period. And just as far as scripturally tonight, we'll go to Mark 11, verse 22, King James. I'm going to read 22 through 24th verse. I was going to get a backdrop on it, but that's something that you can do on your own time, in your own study. But I'm just going to be obedient to do what the Lord has said do. Mark 11, 22 through 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. That's the opening verse to what is to follow. Have faith in God. And Jesus made it known that if you're going to exercise your faith, have faith in God. Because a lot of us have faith, but everybody is not exercising their faith in God. And us as believers, we need to exercise our faith in God. Then he says, for truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Again, when you have faith in God, Jesus confirmed it. He said, truly I say this unto you, that whatever you basically focus on without any doubt in your heart, but you believe it, it shall come to pass. And you can have whatever you say. And that's why it's so important for us to really align ourselves with the will of the Father, with the will of God, so that God's will becomes ours. And when you put your faith in Him, your trust, you grow. You grow in obedience. You know, you grow in trust, because it's been proven. The word proves itself. And then verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And so whenever we go to God in prayer, we have to believe that whatever we're asking God for is already done. Somebody say already done.
Already done.
It's already done. It's already done. We're living a life in the flesh realm, but yet and still we're still able to connect. And so when we pray to God, whom is a spirit, and He says if we worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we have to be in the spirit in order to worship God, in the spirit in order to hear God. And the spirit is a continuous thing. The spirit doesn't sleep. The spirit doesn't rest. It doesn't take time off. You know, your body gets tired, but your spirit is still operating. That's why when we go to sleep, you know, the world will call it the subconscious mind. But that's your spiritual being. You know, that's why we're able to dream and different things like that. Oh, it felt so real. And it's like I was there. You were. But that's a whole nother situation. But what things you desire, when you pray, believe it. Believe that you received them already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're praying for deliverance in an area in your life, believe that it's already done. It's not about us waiting on it to be done. When you pray, believe it at that moment that it's already done. The flesh, the natural, is going to catch up to the things that's already been done in the spirit. It's like, look at the spirit is like markers, like mile markers on a trip somewhere. The markers are already there before you arrive. And it lets you know where you are. And so when we pray and we believe these particular things, we're setting those mile markers up in our lives. So when we hit that point, we're like, wow, we've arrived, you know. And guess what? I can go on a little further because it's telling you. And so it's like it jolts your faith. It puts your faith in a place to where it can grow and you can truly learn to operate more in faith as you see things come to pass. Just you're on a journey, and in the natural you're catching up to the things, you're moving into the things that have already been prepared for you by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so He's proving Himself to you. And so I urge you tonight, don't doubt. We're getting our own way with doubt, trying to figure things out, mm-hmm. trying to wonder how, wonder when. You know, the Lord has really just been reminding me as of lately that I hear Him, that I've been obedient. And say, I don't need nobody to tell me that. I don't need nobody to validate that. God do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me coming. Well, what do you think? God thinks of me. You know, what is their relationship like? It's like a stranger coming over and asking me what. Me asking a stranger what do I think? What does he think my wife thinks of me? what do you think Tanisha thinks of me? That ain't his relationship. That's mine. I should already know. She should be able to tell me. And God reveals things. He shows us where we are in him. And he reminds us. And it's a good feeling to when you know that you hear from God and that you're doing what he says do, because you can definitely avoid a lot of headaches. A lot of headaches. And just this week, I've avoided some things that the enemy could have used to put me in a bad mental space. And I would have tried to justify in my own natural ability, like I have the right to be angry, but really, I don't really even really need to be. You know, yeah, we can be angry, but sin not. This type of anger would have pushed me somewhere. You know, and so we have God knows who you are. He knows what you can handle. He knows exactly what you need. He knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's imperative for us to follow him and to nurture our relationship so he can guide us the way that we need to be guided, so that we can really avoid some things that could really alter your path. Because the enemy will use things to get a reaction out of you. And guess who's sowing that seed? You are. And guess who's accountable for that seed? You are. So God protects us to keep us from sowing seeds, unnecessary seeds, in which whose harvest we have to reap. Because his word is the truth. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And the enemy tries to set up opportunities for us to sow bad seeds so that we could get that negative harvest, the negative return. And so I just thank God for that, you know, and I just use that as an example of just having faith in God. Jesus said that intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Have faith in God. Have faith in my Father. Have faith in the one who sent me. That's who you need to have faith in. Get that relationship with him like I do. I'm here because of him. I am about his business. I'm doing the work of the Father. You got to have faith in him. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to know everything because you're not all knowing. We are not that. But what we can do is believe in him and not doubt. That's what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
He says that intentionally. Believe this. If you do this with no doubt, some of us are in situations right now and wondering why certain things hadn't come to pass. And you want to blame it on God. And the enemy is using that. You know, you've been praying. But then you got to ask yourself, have I been doubting? Have I given doubt an opportunity? Because doubt cancels out belief. And belief cancels out doubt. So which one are you holding up? This is a season to be real with yourself. And you can't be real with yourself, you ain't going to be real with nobody else. Lord, use me. Lord, I just want to be used. I want to be pleasing in your sight. And the number one doubter in the whole room. Then he say, without faith, you can't even please me. But you sit over there full of doubt. So I come against doubt tonight in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over every listener right now in the name of Jesus. That doubt doesn't pierce their ears. That doubt doesn't saturate their minds. And that doubt doesn't flow from their lips in the name of Jesus. We speak belief. We speak strength. We speak faith. We speak strong faith. We speak firmness in the name of Jesus right now. Belief in you, Heavenly Father. Faith in you is what we pursue as end time believers. Hallelujah. As kingdom citizens. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for the victory right now in the name of Jesus. And so just receive that. Just receive that and walk in victory. You know, ain't no reason to doubt. Jesus already paid it off. He gave his life for your doubt. He had to come back and show old tongues. You know, I know you was doubting, but guess what? Here you go. This is for you to remove his doubt. So if you are dealing with doubt tonight, cast that to the side. In Jesus' name. And walk with God with full assurance. Walk with him with full assurance. We're talking about the one who made the whole world. The ground that you stand on, he did that. The air that you breathe, he did that. The eyes you see out of, he did that. The ears that you hear with, he did that. The colors and stuff you see, the things that you could feel and touch, he did that. He did it all. And there's nothing on the outside of all. So if he did that, your doubt ain't nothing for him to remove. It's nothing to him. You just got to give it to him. Just release it. Release it. Release it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to turn the show over to Tanisha right now. She's waiting on you guys. I love you all. Because I got to feed these kids. They ain't had nothing to eat. Unless you want to wait. But I'm pretty sure she got something to share.
Yeah.
But I'll be here.
What I was going to say is I wanted to read Mark 11:22 through 26 out of the Amplified version. Mark 11:22 through 26. So I'm going to start there because I'm just also feeling like we really got to break that doubt tonight. And let's gain faith. Faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So Terrence read it to you out of the King James. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. So it says, Jesus replied, have faith in God. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue, let it go, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. So there is a direct correlation with praying in faith
mm-hmm.
and forgiveness. So I want you to have belief tonight in what God has told you, because it says in accordance with God's will. That's the Amplified, which breaks it down further than what some of the other translations do. But when God has spoke to you about what's going to happen, then that's God's will, right? Because there's a difference between God, what God desires, and what God says is going to happen. You know, God desires for everybody to be saved, right? That's why he sent his son into the world, so that none should perish, but should have everlasting life. So if God wants none to perish, that means that he desires for everyone to be saved, but we know that that's not going to happen. And so if God is telling you what's going to happen, that's just what it is. And you need to put your confident faith in what God has told you is going to happen. Don't waver, don't doubt. If God said it, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural right now. Because in a blink of an eye, things can change. The natural, you know, we see it all the time. It'd be sunny 1 minute, and 2 seconds later, it could be storming and raining, and 5 minutes after that, your whole street could be flooded out. Just like that. So don't put your focus on what's on the natural, because that can change. And God knows, He's all-knowing. You're not all-knowing. You only see what's before you, and then you have insight if He tells you what's ahead of you, and you have the faith to believe it. But you have limitations in your humanness, but God does not. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. So if God tells you something, even though right now it doesn't make any sense, it might make sense next week. But don't wait for it to make sense, because if you see it and believe it, that's not faith. Faith is believing what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see it, it confirms. And it builds your faith even further, because you're like, I knew it. I knew. I didn't see it, but I know what God said. And that's what you hold on to, and that's what you use when that doubt tries to come creeping in, or when you start to feel discouraged, you remind yourself what you saw. And so let's pray for that tonight. Let's pray against the spirit of doubt. Let's pray against the spirit of having to know, to be all-knowing. You're not God. You're not all-knowing. You don't need to know everything. And let's pray for forgiveness, not only for what the things that we do, you know, the things that people have done to us, but let's pray for forgiveness for the things that we've done to other people and the things that we've done to God. Because we need to be forgiven too. You need to be forgiven every day. Even if you just lay in the bed, you did something wrong. Trust me. You had an impure thought or something. You partook in something sinful.
Mm-hmm.
You've never gone a day without sin. Unless you were in a coma. And even then, I don't know. We all know how the brain activity works. So we are in need of forgiveness every day. And we need to be forgiving every day. And Terrence and I were having a conversation earlier about the scripture, choose you this day who you will serve. Because you have to make a decision every day. Are you going to serve your sight? Or are you going to believe what God says? Are you going to serve your flesh? Or are you going to believe what God says? Are you going to serve your family? You know, sometimes just because you serve something else doesn't make it a bad thing per se. But what are you serving today? What are you putting your faith towards? What's causing you to move?
Mm-hmm.
But something's got you moving. What are you serving? You got to choose to say, if a job presented itself to you and it was making $50,000 a year less than what your job currently is, and you're like, I got a degree. I've worked hard in this field. I'm not going to shortchange myself, but God says to take the job. What are you going to serve? Are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve your ego? Are you going to serve your career goals? What if God says to take time off from work, to focus on Him?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I got a family. We're going to have to sacrifice. My kids are going to have to. I didn't want my kids to live a life of sacrifice like I did growing up. I wanted to give them the best of everything. Like, let them get the Kerry Gold butter. That's the good butter, in case you didn't know. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve God, or you going to serve your family? So just because what you're choosing to serve isn't bad doesn't mean that you're not making a bad decision. Choose you this day who you will serve. Make your decisions based on what God is saying. Have faith. Have faith tonight. Let your faith rise up. God is, he's worthy. He's worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your belief. He's worthy of your faith, because he's not like man that he should lie. Because sometimes man will lie and don't have no intentions to say, you know what, I'm going to give you $20 tomorrow, and have full intentions of giving you $20 tomorrow. And then they wake up in the morning and their tire is blown out.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got to go down the street and get their tire replaced. And now they don't have that other 20. And so now they're in a position where they can't do what they said they was going to do, even though the intention wasn't bad. See, we have limitations. God, when he says it, it's the truth. There's no hiccups that's going to come. There's no, oh, well, you see what had happened was.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that. If he said it, it's true. You could trust it. Or even the most trustworthy person on the planet, they say they're going to do something for you tomorrow, and this person is trustworthy. They've got good intentions, good morals. They're overall as good as a human can be, in the sense of the human. You know, we say people are good, but none of us are good according to Scripture. We're righteous through Christ. But a person who's good from human standards and trustworthy, even they can say they're going to do something and not do it because of human limitation. But don't look at God like a man. He's not like man that he should lie. His thoughts are not even like our thoughts, and his ways are not like our ways, but we try to humanize God in the sense of the ability to make mistakes. But he came as a human and made no mistakes. He came as a human and sinned not. So for whatever reason, we still seem to think that he's going to behave like us when he came like us. He became one of us and still got it right. So put your faith and trust in him. And if there be any person to try to come against you, who's lied, and he scammed you, cheated, snatched out your inheritance from right up under you, who took something from you, turned people against you, whatever they've done, tonight forgive them. Let it go. Because it ain't over until God says it's over. I don't care if somebody did take your inheritance. And I'm preaching to somebody. Somebody got their inheritance snatched in some sort of deceptive, slimy way. Hear me tonight. It's not over. You're going to get it all back and then some. They did you a solid. You're going to get it back with interest. So forgive the people who did you dirt. It might not come back in the form of the inheritance itself. Maybe your inheritance was $200,000. And that money is gone with the wind. But God may give you $700,000. So it's like you got your inheritance and then some with interest. You're going to get it back. Now, it might not be in that same form, but it's going to have that same capability. Money spends. It don't matter if it comes from XYZ bank account or ABC bank account. It's in your bank account now. You're going to get it. So the people who did you dirt, lied, snatched that thing from you, schemed and scammed, forgive them. They've already set their own seed for their own harvest, but you're going to get back what you feel was stolen from you. So allow that bitterness to come up out of you, you know, because let's say it is $200,000 and now your car done broke down. So you sitting there, it's going to make you feel some sort of way. If I had my $200,000, I wouldn't have this problem because I would have had the money to fix the car. Shoot, I wouldn't have this car at all. I'd have a brand new car. Be worried about no broke down cars and having to Uber back home and having to haggle with mechanics and stuff. That could make you bitter. But they done raised your rent. And you like, I'm just barely making it as it is. But if I had my $200,000, I wouldn't have this problem. I'd have bought me a little house or something.
Right.
The enemy would try to use situations to try to make that bitterness grow. But just like faith has the ability to grow stronger, so does bitterness. Mm-hmm. Bitterness is like rot. Something can, you know, there's levels to rot. Get you some fruit. Leave it out. And you'll see there's levels to rot. Because first, it rot doesn't look a little bad. You know, it's still okay. You could, the rot, you could actually cut off some of it with the little rot. And when it first starts, you can cut it off and the fruit's still good. The rest of it can still be eaten. It's just that one little piece of rot, right? Let it keep sitting out. Then the whole thing starts to, it starts to get all the within the fruit. So even if you cut the fruit open, now it's all throughout the fruit. Oh, but don't stop there. Leave it out a little more. Now it starts to stink. Now you identify it, not just by what it looks like, but by how it's behaving, how it smells. Now it stinks. Oh, but do not stop at that point of the rot, my friend. Leave it out. Now it starts to attract nasty things. Bugs, worms, and such. But leave it out furthermore. Now it starts to melt and it starts to spread, and now it's contaminating whatever it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but don't stop there. Now that liquefied, yucky, worm, maggot infested rot has stained whatever it's on. So you could get your little, you know, disinfect it, get your sponge, and you wipe it down, and that thing then got into the wood, all into the pores, or into the plastic, or into whatever you got it sitting on. Now you see the, even though you've wiped it up, you still see the residual results because it's stained what it sat on.
Mm-hmm.
There's levels to rot. It ain't all created equal. And if you allow bitterness, bitterness is like rot. It's the same thing. First, you're just a little bitter. But you can cut that off. You know, the rest of you cool. You just bitter in that one little area, right? Come to finance, you're just a little bitter. You know, you want to get the extra guacamole, but you can't afford it. But if you had your $200,000, you'd be able to get guacamole. But you can't. But you cool at work and, you know, your love life and all that, your friends. But you keep being bitter. It's going to spread. Now you're bitter about life. Everything is making you mad. Your job, your friends, your weight, the way you look. Channel 5 news, the bird chirping in the window outside. Everything got you mad because that bitterness will spread. Then people will start to identify. You ain't even got to open your mouth to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They can smell it. Listen, smell like bitter. You ever been around a person? They ain't said a word and you just know they bitter. You could feel it. Feel that bitter. Feel that energy on them. That's like a funk. Like, as soon as they opened their mouth, I knew that's where that was coming from. I knew that was that something wasn't right. Then you start to leave a mark. Not only are you bitter, but those around you, now your family members, your kids are bitter. Everybody mad. They don't even know why they mad. Because it's spreading. Don't trust family because they'll take your $200,000. Like, dang, for real? Now you raising bitter people all afraid to trust people and stuff because you sitting there spreading your bitter rot. You leave a place. You've been gone 10 years and the effects of your rottenness still there. There's levels to it. So tonight, I pray God remove that bitterness from you. I'm talking to somebody who got that inheritance snatched, and I'm talking to all of us. I don't care what they took, or what you think they took. God is a restorer. This is a year of reconciliation. We're going to see God move in ways like we've never seen. We're going to see him as a man of God. We're going to see him as a righteous judge this year. If this is your year, you feel like you done got kicked to the side like a can, smashed and ran over. Like, oh, I guess it's got away with it. Let me just go on with my life. Now you so tired, you look like a hunchback. You just tired of moving on. Oh, well, I guess they just got away with it. That is no way to live. Because even though maybe you know, bitterness, all fruit don't rot the same way. Some get the little fuzz on it. Some turn green. That's still some bitterness. You got the life knocked out of you. That's why you're over there hunchback. Can't even walk straight. Knees screaming. Everything hurting your body. You don't know what's going on. You're going to the doctor. They're like, I don't know. We ran blood tests on you, but you're perfectly fine. Because bitterness is rotting your bones. That's scripture. That's why you hurt. You don't have no arthritis. I speak against that. You're bitter. And you're feeling the effects right there in your body. But tonight, I tell you, this is your year of reconciliation. God is going to vindicate you this year. And he's going to get the booty, which is what the pirates would get, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to get. You're going to get what's yours. It's all coming back. It's almost like it's stored somewhere. And you're going to get it back. So take heart tonight, rejoice, thank God for it, and get out of your bitterness. Because you probably that one that stink. People don't want to be around you. Like, I don't know, I'm such a woman of God. Why does nobody want to be around? Because you're bitter and you stink. Don't nobody want to be around that.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a walking inflamed armpit. Who want to smell that? Nobody. Like one of those ones with no deodorant on too, Lord Jesus. Smelling like boiled onions. Nobody wants to smell you. Nobody wants to hear your bitter speech. Nobody wants to, you talk about what happened, what they did to you 10, 15, 20 years ago. I love you, but I'm telling you, we don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. Release it tonight. You're going to get it back. Forget that $200,000. So what? You're about to get $700,000. And then more than that, take your 700 and invest some of it. Ask the Lord to teach you how to invest and make your money work for you. And then you get more than that. You'll be a millionaire. You'll be happy that them people snatched that $200,000. Now, they probably done smoked it or ate it up or did something. That money gone anyway. The moth done ate it. Stop nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You stopping something. Can't nobody take what's yours. See, the enemy knows. He knows that he can't do nothing to us. He can't take nothing from us that we don't allow. What happens is we get discouraged and we give up.
Right.
Then he comes snatching our stuff like a vulture. We just leave it on the curb, free for the taking. Shoot, you can have the rest. I don't care. And he take it. He got all this good stuff. And the devil stole it. No, you gave it to him. Because you got discouraged because they snatched $200,000 and you just gave up on everything else. And that $200,000, he took a loan. When the devil try to come taking your stuff, you better let him know something. Say, devil, I know you got my $200,000. I hope you know that you borrowed that. You paying it back with interest. So you can either give it back now and we could just let bygones be bygones, or just know that when I get it back, I'm getting it back with interest and you're being exposed. What you want to do? You got to let him know something. You got the power. He don't got no power over you. Put him in his place.
Right.
It's like catching somebody breaking into your house and you got them on camera and you're like, look at here. We could do this one of two ways. You can either put it back or I can call the popos. Which one you want to do? But I got the power to decide. Trust me, that thief going to put it back. Now, the enemy might be a little more hard-headed, but he going to know you putting them on notice. You're going to give it back. I don't care what you're talking about. You're going to give it back. That's what we got to start being strong. My brothers and sisters, we got to start letting these demons and the enemy know what's going on. I was able to, in the spirit earlier this week, I knew that spirit of Jezebel. Terrence and I, the enemy, he has a particular person he loves to use the most with that Jezebel spirit. Now, this is favorite. If he had a favorite, we know exactly who this person is. And I woke up and I said, that Jezebel spirit is going to come a knocking, trying to reach out to the point where I even tapped on the phone. I said, I'm waiting on you. Not even an hour later, said person came with that spirit. I sniffed it out. And I said, Jezebel, you're going to have to stand down. I didn't say it to the person. I said it out loud. I said, I sensed you're coming. And you did just that. I know what you're doing. You're not slick. I see you. And you're going to have to stand down. And release your number. It's a wrap for you. You got a warrant is out for your arrest. It's just a matter of time. They're gonna catch you, and they're gonna put you away. So if I were you, I would just stop now. But hey, do what you do. But just know that I see what you're doing. So I'm feeling empowered, and I want you to feel empowered too. Those demons, those devils, none of that. That please. They don't have no power. Take your power back tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for another day and another night, an opportunity to serve you, to see you, to understand you more, Father God, to grow closer, to sharpen one another, Lord. And I just pray for all of us, Father God, that our faith will be restored where it's been depleted,
mm-hmm.
That it will be strengthened where it's been weakened, Father God, that it would grow where it's been stagnant, that you would just put us in situations and opportunities for us to grow our faith and help us to help ourselves to get into our work, quit feeding on the news and all this stupidity and all these things. It's good to be informed, Father God, but we got to do our part too. Help us to have a hunger for your word, a thirst for it even, so that we can grow our faith and be strong and mighty in your word, Father God. Help us to know where our help comes from and help us to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
To just trust you. I don't care what it looks like. What the people did. We fighting people. We fighting flesh and blood. And the fight ain't even against no flesh and blood. Help us to fight the enemy collectively, Father God. Collectively. And Lord, help us to forgive. We just forgive those who have hurt us, who have harmed us, come against us, lied on us, cheated, stolen, scammed, schemed. We forgive them tonight, Father God. Forgive us. Forgive us for not even following your word. Your word tells us to forgive our enemies and forgive us for not doing that immediately. Forgive us for the things that we've done. We hurt you every day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pray like we're supposed to. We don't do people like we're supposed to. Forgive us for those things, Father God. And tonight, Lord, we just put the enemy on notice. Let's come against any demonic activity in the lives of your people, Father God. We shut the mouth of the enemy. We disable all the harm and the ill-spoken words. We speak righteousness over our lives. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives and that of our family and our children and the will that you have. And Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
Help us, if we're going to walk by any sight, let it be in sight, sight within sight. Not just what we're seeing before us, Father God. It's so much deeper than that. When Moses went to the Pharaoh, he didn't know what the Pharaoh was going to do. This man had left Egypt as a fugitive. He didn't know Pharaoh was going to chop his head off, throw him in jail or what. But by faith he went, not only as a fugitive, but went as a fugitive with demands of the highest man in the country. But he trusted you. And he had faith, even though the chips were stacked against him when it came to power in the natural, but he knew who he served. Help us to have that same faith tonight, Father God. No matter where you send us, no matter what you tell us to do, no matter who we have to stand up against, help us to not bow. Help us to not be afraid, and help us to stand tall and speak the word of God like Moses said, let my people go.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak that over your people, that they be set free right now in the name of Jesus. Come off mental bondage and shackles. Come off doubt, sickness and disease. Flee from God's people right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your people rise to be the kings and queens that you purpose them to be the kingdom citizens and the example to this earth. Let your people not bow down to the king's edicts, but rise up and be bold and be unafraid of consequence because they know that their God is with them. Let this all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a word. What a word.
Let's start taking some calls. Oh, I keep forgetting. And you don't have the you don't have my whatcha call it plugged up. Let's just go here. Start with the first caller, 251-342.
Thank you. It is me. Won't he do it?
Yes. Hello, Latrice. How are you?
It is well in spite of. It is still well.
Amen. Okay. I'm getting my mouse together here. Terrence over there making a mess.
Take time.
Got it? Okay, perfect. All right.
Good for you because I'm good.
All right, well, let's pray for you. I'm going to start off. And let's hear what the Lord has said because I'm in high gear tonight. Heavenly Father.
Ooh, go get it, girl.
Yes, we just come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We just thank you right now from Latrice, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being the mouthpiece, Father God, that you're using her like I see you like a shofar. Like God's going to use you to blow the word, to blow the shofar over his people. And it's going to shake things off of people. Like people, it's almost like people have been asleep around you. This sleep, like they're sleepwalking. They're doing things, like they're living life, they're going to work, they're eating, they're going to doing these things. But it's like they're asleep. And I see you blowing that shofar and it's just shaking them awake. And I see you blowing that shofar and demons fleeing people. And I see you blowing that shofar and sickness coming off of people. And it's not even physical sickness. Some people are literally sick in the head. It's not even like a mental illness per se, but it's still a sickness that's in the mind. It's like people are infected with pride and ego and bad upbringings and all these things that causes their mind to process incorrectly. So when things are not right, it's sick, right? Like in the body, it would be considered sick. And so I see God using you, and it's like your words, but your words are going to be, I see it like it's like your mouth turned into a shofar. And you're going to speak it, and it's almost like it's blowing over people. And it's going to, it causes things to happen. It's almost like they don't even have a choice. You know, it's like it's blowing and things are just removing, coming off of people. And then they're going to be like, whoa, what happened? Like, I can't believe I did those things. Or I can't believe I would say that. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. And you're going to be like, because your mind wasn't right. You were out of your mind, literally. Even though you were functioning in society, your mind was messed up, you know. Or a person be, you know, don't know why they was, their body was so messed up. Like, I don't know what was wrong. And you're going to say it was a demon. Some things are really demonic. You know, of course, some things that are, you know, demonic, medical science has labeled it. But some things, it is purely demonic. Like, no blood test is going to catch it, no physical, no nothing. They could put the stethoscope, they could do an X-ray, they could do a CAT scan, MRI, they could do it all. And they're not going to find anything because it's purely demonic, where it's not even identified in the blood or in the cells or in the physical realm. And so God's going to use you. You're going to be speaking over people, and then they're going to just be healed like that. And they're going to be like, I don't know what that was. You know, the world tries to label things when people have obvious physical pain, but they can't find it. Like, I know they've got all sorts of different stuff they'll call it, but there's no test for it. It's just they test you for everything under the sun, find nothing, and then they label it as this because the world has to label everything. That's just the way of the world. But really, if you were to know how to read it, you know, you'd know that that label means they can't find anything, but they believe that you really are experiencing pain or something, and it's not mental, that there's something going on, but they just can't identify it. And you're going to come across people like that where God's going to use you to heal them. And they're going to say, I don't know what it was. And you're going to tell them it was demonic. There was some sort of opening, and the spirit came in, and then you started to identify with the spirit, which basically you signed a lease with it. Because once you identify with it, you gave it the right to take residence in your body. But now you have evicted it. So now you feel the difference, because an empty house doesn't behave like a house that's got people in it. You know, you go into an empty house and don't have no furniture or nothing in it, you start talking, it echo. But when you put stuff in it, it responds different. And so, of course, you're going to notice a difference between when something is vacated versus when something is occupied. So that's what you're feeling. You're going to really school people on what's going on, because they're going to be sitting there, I don't know what happened. And you're going to tell them, you allow some demonic activity, and that thing is gone now. So now you feel the difference in your body because it's gone. Or they're going to say, I don't know why I did those things, because your mental was messed up. You had some demonic influence, and now that thing is gone. So Lord, we just thank you for Latrice, Father God. Thank you for using her as a shofar to blow the truth of God's word on people.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you, Father God, for the wisdom that she'll have to be able to tell them what's going on, so that they're not just sitting there walking around confused. Because we know that you don't give us a spirit of confusion. That's not from you. And so you're going to use her to not only heal people, but to make that spirit of confusion flee from them as well, and you're going to give them understanding of what is happening. So they're operating in truth, and they're operating in reality, not reality as the world tells us, but reality as you tell us, because what you say is real. Let every man be a liar, and God's word be true. And we just thank you for that. Father God, just bless her. Bless every part of her, Father God, from her head all the way down to her toes, Father God. Bless her. Bless her. And cover her, Father. Cover her. Cover her. I just cover you right now, Latrice, in the mighty blood of Jesus. I cover you in every area, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, psychologically, favor. That you would have, you will always have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is telling you. You'll be able to have an ear to even identify and hear plans of the enemy, so that you can always speak against them, so that they'll never be able to even take root. You'll be able to see the enemy's plans as a seed, and you'll be able to speak against it so that it will never take root, I speak that in your life, and I just thank you for that, Father God. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey. That's what's up.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked y'all in your prayer time, lift up my daughter, Brittany, that we take authority over a situation and send the devil back to the pit of hell from whence he is come.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we just thank you for breathing tonight, Father God. We touch and agree with our sister. Lord, that you conceal her and fill her in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Conceal and fill in Jesus' name. That he's going to hide her so that he can fill her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I see her taking some time off, and it's not going to be a bad thing, but God uses everything for his good, for his glory. Because a lot of times we'll look at things in the natural and really think that it's not God, because that's not what we thought it should be. But we can't underestimate who God is. He's all-knowing. He knows about us better than we know ourselves. And so we can't go to him about nobody that he made.
Amen.
No, he knows what's best for all of us. And so, Lord, we just thank you for doing what's best in her life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Because he's a need supplier. He's a need supplier, and he's going to give her exactly what she needs.
Thank you, Lord.
So he can get what he needs out of her.
Hallelujah.
Because with the concealment comes protection. With the concealment comes protection, so he's going to protect her from the ways of this world, from being disturbed. So we just thank you for it in Jesus' name, and we just claim victory over her life. Amen.
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 Amen. And I do thank you, God, and keep doing what you do.
Amen.
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 Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Amen. You guys have an excellent night until we speak again.
You too.
Thank you, Latrice. Have
you
an excellent night as well.
All right.
All right. Good night. 910-709.
This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Let's pray and hear what the Lord has to say to you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Sylvia. We thank you for the inheritance. I was praying over inheritance earlier. I feel like it was for you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the inheritance, Father God. We just speak that it's coming back right now in Jesus' mighty name. It's coming back with interest. Yes. With interest. This is your word, Sylvia. It's coming back with interest. It's not going to come back in the same form, but it's coming back. And it's just for you. Nobody be able to take it. And it's yours for the taking. You're going to be thankful to God for everything that you've experienced, because it's all about timing. You know, sometimes people can take things, or it feels like people have taken things, and if we would have had it then, we wouldn't be as, you know, have more. And even though we went through the battles, we have more, because not only will you have the finances back, you have it back and then some, and then you've gained some lessons, right? You've learned about God's faithfulness. You even learn about suffering and how God is there even when we suffer, and how God will help us work through even when we start to feel bitter, or even when we start to lose faith, how he's always there. So there's much more that's gained from it. And this is what you're going to, you know, teach other people. This is what you're learning, even, because suffering produces, and it can either produce good things or it can produce bad things, you know, but it's up to us what we allow it to produce. But I see God using it to produce good things in your life, things that the body of Christ will need to hear, because, you know, suffering is something that we all go through, different levels, different forms, but we need to learn how to suffer. You know, you don't really hear too many people teach about suffering. People want to teach about prosperity. People want to teach about the blessings. People want to teach about the righteousness of God. People want to, you know, teach about the anointing, the spiritual gifts. But you don't hear too many people teaching about how to suffer, how to suffer. As believers, we practically need to know how to live this life. And we need other believers to say, I've been there, done that, and I came out on the other side, and you don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be ornery. You don't have to be, you know, feeling some sort of way. You don't have to be talking about, well, back in this time and this and the other, and every time you hear that person's name, it's like a cat being thrown in water. That doesn't have to be your life. You can suffer in Christ, and you can win. And it doesn't sound like, those sound like two complete opposites, but it's true. And you're going to teach people that. You can suffer and win. Jesus suffered.
Amen.
He was sweating blood. If that's not suffering, I don't know what is. But look at the win. Look at the gain that came as a result. And us as believers, we read the story of Christ. And we see that it was necessary so that we can be in the position that we are in. That those before us were able to be in the position that they were in, and those who will come after us, that the suffering is still benefiting to this day. So all suffering isn't created equal, and suffering can produce. It can produce life, even though it feels like you're dying. That's what suffering feels like. It feels like a slow death, but it can produce life. And God is going to use you to teach people that, to teach the body of Christ that, because we need it. We need people to say that. We need people to, because people think, oh, I'm suffering, I'm dying. People correlate suffering with dying. Like, oh, I'm just going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to die because I'm suffering. Not, I'm producing life, that I'm getting something out of it. Something's being gained. They don't see it like that. We got to change the way we speak and change the way we think. Because that period of time is that period of time. It's like a season. Mm-hmm. How you fare through the season is up to you. But you're still going to go through it. So you might as well go through it doing well than go through it feeling like you're dying and just waiting on the side of the road for death to come snatch you up, which is what a lot of people do when they're suffering, especially when the suffering is prolonged. You know, when it's one thing when you suffer for a year, it's something when you suffer for 15 or you know, 10 or 5 or whatever. But God is going to use you. So, Lord, just thank you for Sylvia, Father God. Thank you for the restoration, the reconciliation, the vindication. And we thank you for the inheritance, Father God. We thank you that you're giving it back with interest. And Lord, forgive, we just forgive those who have come against her and who have done wrong towards her, lied, and have stolen from her, Father God. We just forgive them right now. We forgive them. We release them to you, Father God, to deal with. And Lord, just position her to receive all that you have for her and then some. And Lord, we just thank you that it's going to exceed what she would be satisfied with. It's going to exceed that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could you pray for my brother? His name is Fred. I've had you pray for him before. I think he's doing some things he shouldn't be doing. And he was in the church before. He was with God before, but he's backslid, and I think he's still doing drugs.
Lord, we come touching and agreeing with Fred tonight. Lord, we just thank you for victory in his life, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you for making it all work for his good.
Yeah.
Making it all work for his good. Because sometimes in life, we as individuals, there are a lot of things that we don't want to see people go through. Because we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we don't understand certain things that go on in people's lives. Because God will use everything in life to get you where he needs you to be. God would allow you to get into environments and get in situations to not only bring you out, but bring people out with you.
Mm-hmm.
With you. And so we just pray that tonight that Fred hears God.
Yeah.
And obeys him. And just obey him. Just obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look at the flesh, when we look at the flesh is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. The flesh tries to take you out, but it tries to take you out and get you in a position to give up on God. It tries to put you where you deny Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because when some people are in pain, they will denounce faith because they don't want to be in pain, and they like, wow, I've been in pain and you allowing this to happen to me, this, that, and other. But I just see God really using, making this work out for Fred's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you don't worry about it, don't allow Fred's life to interfere with your life. Because that's not your life to live. That's his. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Pray. Let it go. Release Fred tonight. Release Fred tonight too. And allow God to do what he wants to do in Fred's life. Because Fred has to allow God to do. You could want it all day for Fred, but if Fred don't want it for himself, there is nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
And you have to be okay with it. Because all of us play roles in people's lives. But we all children of God. We all creators. Creations.
Mm-hmm.
He all created us. So release him tonight and just ask God to move in his life and just pray that Fred receive those instructions that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
That he needs to get to where God wants him, because once he's delivered from it, those that witnessed it, not all, but some are going to come with him, and it's going to be all worth it. In
mm-hmm.
the end. It's going to be all worth it in the end. All worth it. So we just thank you for this being done in Jesus' name.
Amen. I just hear
amen.
Spirit of God, like the Spirit of God crying out to Fred, return to your first love. That's what I keep hearing. Return to your first love. Return to your first love. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, Father God. Let Fred have an ear to hear your Spirit crying out, return to your first love. Return to your first love and give him the help for him to do just that, to return to you, to return his heart over and to surrender all and not to walk in condemnation, that there's nothing he's done that's beyond your realm of forgiveness. Help him to feel the love that you have, no matter how he's done people. He's done some people wrong.
Yes.
And the enemy is using that to keep him in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord, help him to know that despite the things that he's done, and it's not that he has not done wrong things, because he has, but help him to understand that you love him and that you forgive him. You will forgive him. And that's the only way for him to get it right with people, is he got to first get it right with you. And he has to accept your love and accept your forgiveness, because he can't love nobody until he loves himself. And he has to, in order for him to properly love himself, he has to have your love in him. So help him to get out of that cycle of condemnation, Father God, and help him to return to you, to return to his first love. Let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for praying, you too. Thank you very much.
Oh,
and God bless you both.
Thank you. Have a good night, Sylvia.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm going to get this 111. The Lord told me to. 111.
111.
Are you there? Why is somebody calling on a device?
111111.
Yeah, so we don't have an area code prefix because it shows up as a device. So maybe you're calling on a Google or cross country. Well, I'm going to set a mute you. We're going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 111. We thank you for the bow. I see the bow being placed on the present, which is a good thing, because when the bow is placed on the present, now the present's ready to be unwrapped. And so I see God gifting you with things, and it's time. You've been waiting on some things to be released. And now it's going to be unleashed. Now you get to unwrap it and see the surprise that God has for you. Because typically when people give gifts, they're good gifts, right? That's why they wrap it all pretty and put a bow on it. You know, sometimes when people give you like a gift that's not really up to par, they don't put a bow on it, you know, because they know their gift is not, you know, a good gift. So they're going to wrap it, but they're not going to put a bow. But you know when somebody's, you know, when that gift is going to be really good when they put that bow on it, because they're all excited. I know I'm like that. If the gift is like really good, you know, I like to put bows on them so that it just dresses up real pretty. But I see the Lord putting a bow on things. And so it's time for you to unwrap and partake and see what surprise God has for you. He's got some surprises. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to the next caller here. 754-240.
Hey, Terrence and Tanisha, this is Donald and Tanya.
Hey, Donald and Tanya, how are you?
Oh, we're doing fine. How you guys doing?
Great. How about y'all, man, around there, hanging out with his baby?
Yeah, hanging out with the baby.
Yeah.
You got baby blues.
I already know. Hey, but y'all made for it.
Yes.
Y'all made
for
it.
Yeah, so let's pray for you guys. I'm going to start. I'm the one that's cranked up. So I'm going to start.
Cranked.
Yeah, you're cranked. You know, you're cranked.
What's the Lord saying for you tonight?
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead since I got it flowing through me. So I'm going to start with Donald. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Donald. I always see a crown on you. Every time you call in, or even when you call in to Randy and you start talking, I don't know what you look like. But I always vision you with a crown, and that's what I see. I see God crowning you, and placing like the, it's like you're going through a coronation, I think that's what it's called, right? When the king is put in place, mm-hmm. you know, because there's always, I know with the monarchy, they have like, there's like a whole levels of things, and there's just a way that they do things and determine who's going to be the next king. But even though the person might know that they're the next king, they're installed, I believe, during the coronation. So they have this whole ceremony, and then once that's done, then it's like all official. And that's what I see. I'm seeing that you are right now, you're going through like a coronation. And so God is putting you in position in so that you are able to now utilize your power, so that your power is now seen. It's one thing when it's like, okay, this is who you're going to be. And even though people around you know it, it's another thing when now you have full authority. That's the word I'm looking for, authority. So mm-hmm. I see you in a coronation. So like God's placing like the kingly cape on you and putting the scepter in your hand, and the blessing is on you, right? Just like how in the Old Testament, how the prophet, when the prophet went to David, it wasn't enough for God to say, oh, that's going to be the next king, and that's just that what that was. No, the prophet had to go and perform like a ceremony and anoint him, right? So there was something that needed to be done to make it official, even though God had already said it. So God said it, that's what it's going to be, but God still had the prophet go and anoint him as king, which is in a sense like a coronation, because even with the modern day monarchy, they have a priest anoint. That's what they do during the coronation. The priest, or the head of the church, anoints the next king or queen or whoever's going to be running things. And that's what God has done with you. That's what you're in. That's the season that you're in right now, like a coronation. So even though God has already said that these things, now that you've completed the process, now you have the authority. Now it is so. Mm. Officially. It is so. So walk in it. And people are going to recognize it, and people are going to have to bow down to it. It doesn't matter how they feel about it. They don't have to like you. They don't have to understand why God chose you. They don't have to do a background check. Who cares? God said that you have the power. You're the king. You're going to run the things. You're going to reign because God said so. So it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what they try to find or dig up. None of that matters because it's already done. You've already been anointed as the king, and that's just what it is, period. So it's kind of like when people get married and there's a little part, well, if anybody has something to say, then speak now or forever hold your peace. You already passed that part. The marriage has already taken place. So that's just what it is. And nobody can do anything about it. Nobody. No human. Because God is the one who's placed you as the king. It's just like with Saul. Saul was trying to fight David so bad. When you really study the life of Saul and David, David really genuinely loved Saul. He really did. He didn't do no harm to Saul. Saul was really just hating on David because he knew who David was. He knew that who David was going to be. And he was trying to hold on to something that God stripped from him. And taking it out on David. And even though he had the power, he had the power, he had the armies, he had whatever, you know, in the natural, it looked like he was greater than David. But he wasn't, because David had the anointing. David had the favor of God. David had God speaking that, no, you're going to have the power. And that's exactly what took place, no matter what Saul tried. He couldn't stop David. And so there's going to be people that's going to try to come against your power. Who cares? They're like Saul. They're going to fall on their own sword. You don't even have to do nothing. But just be obedient to what God has told you to do and let people take themselves out, because they will. Because they're really coming against you because they want the power and they feel you're not qualified to have the power. I mean, if you look at Saul and David, David was a youth. So I know Saul was like, I know this little boy. I don't think he's about to come up here and take my crown. Mm-hmm. You know? Because here he is older, he's more mature, he's been in wars, there's all these things. He's qualified. And David looking like some kid who got lucky, threw a rock at somebody, and now all of a sudden everybody thinks he's so great. But that wasn't the case. He was anointed. And God qualified him. You know, qualification don't mean nothing in the kingdom. God, as long as God says you qualify, that's just what that is. That's it. Nobody can, it don't matter what papers they weigh. Well, look at here. No, nobody cares. You could put that and burn it because nobody cares because God said it and nobody can stop the plans of God. God wants somebody to be in position. God wants somebody to be in power. If God wants somebody to reign, if God wants somebody to rule, so be it. It doesn't matter what human standards say. So walk in a boldness to say, I'm here because God said so. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. You can find a corner and cry in it. You could go kick your feet, go kick a can down the street. Like, I don't know, but that's not my problem. You have to take that up with the Lord because he is the one who's placed me here, and you can't stop me from being here. And you could get petitions, and you could do whatever you want to do, but you're not going to stop the plan of God. And if you get in the way, you're going to get steamrolled. So if I were you, I would just get out the way. And that's just how bold you got to be. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for Donald, Father God. We thank you that you have placed the crown on his head, and we thank you for the coronation, and we thank you for the anointing to rule and reign, to have power. And we thank you for the humbleness, Father God. And we thank you for to know what power, what it means to have power, and to prepare for it. And to know that it does change people. That's just inevitable. Power changes people, just like money changes people, and you've anointed him to have both. So help him to and play safeguards, methods, ways that he operates so that he never yields to what comes along with power and money. He never yields to it. And that he's always humble enough to say, I have to be accountable because I know that these things can change me for the worse. And so I keep myself accountable. Because it's people will say, oh, if I get $20 million, I'm going to be the same. No, you're not. It's a lie. You will not be the same. Your clothes are going to change. What you eat is going to change. Your neighbors are going to change. Everything's going to change. What you drive, you're not going to be the same. And it's ignorant when people say, I'm going to be the same person. You're going to have the same DNA, yes, but you are not going to be the same person because you're going to be exposed to things that you were never exposed to before. And when you have power, I'm going to be the same person. No, you're not. When everybody is telling you, you're so wonderful, oh my gosh, you're so amazing, you're not going to be the same. You have got to put things in place to keep yourself in check, because if people are telling you you're wonderful and amazing and people are bowing down and dropping at your feet, throwing rose petals before you walk, you're going to be changed. And you have to keep yourself humble and keep yourself safeguarded and keep people around you to keep you accountable. Because your head could puff up quick, and you need somebody to be that pin to pop it. And thinking that you don't need a pin to pop it is ignorant. But I see people do that all the time, and then they succumb to the power and the money and the accolades. And it's, I don't know what happened, because you failed to plan. Because you thought that you wasn't going to change. Why? I don't know. But you thought that. You thought you was going to be the same old person. You eating steak and caviar, and you thought you was going to be the same. And everybody's telling you you're amazing, you smell good, and we just love everything you say. And you thought that that was not going to change you at all. And now here you are, you're tripped and fell on your face. Happens all the time. But God is going to give you the wisdom to have things in place so that that doesn't happen to you. You know, I remember one time watching the life of Billy Graham and through his own words, and he said that part of the reason why he didn't get caught up in scandal is because he didn't counsel women by himself. He would always have somebody accountable, and that he always took his wife with him when he traveled. And if he didn't take his wife, he had a chaperone with him, and not somebody that was just going to go along with him, not some yes man, but somebody that was going to keep him accountable, because he knew that being a man of power, it don't matter if you're a man of power that's in the secular world or a man of power in the spiritual arena, there's temptation that comes, and he wasn't going to set himself up for failure like that. And he wasn't ignorant to think, I'm a man of God, so there's no way that a woman could tempt me. He wasn't going to do that to himself because it's ignorant. So he put things in place. So he said the reason why I didn't get caught up in scandal is because I made it so I wouldn't get caught up in scandal, because I wasn't so arrogant to think that I was incapable of that. He put things in place. And so God is going to give you the wisdom to put things in place, because, again, when you got power and money, that, come on now, power alone, money alone, but you got both, and it's from God, so nobody could take it? Come on now. God is going to give you the wisdom so that you are not, won't trip over your own feet or trip over your own ignorance, because people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's knowledgeable to know, hey, these things can change me, and Lord, keep me humble, and practically let me know what I need to do to stay humble. Because, you know, when you first come into some money, yeah, you remember when you didn't have none. 10 years, you start to forget. 20 years, what? Not have money, what's that? It's so far removed from you. So you have to have things in place to keep you humble, or have something that you do. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you right now for Tanya, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you're using her. Like, Tanya, I see the Lord shifting your mentality, shifting even the way you speak. Like, you're changing for the better. And people are going to say that you've changed, but change is not always bad. We all should be changing. I don't want to be the same Tanisha in 2027 than I am in 2021. I better be better. I know that. I better be better. And so God is shifting things, your perspective. And when with the perspective shift, everything changes, including your speech. Where before somebody might do something, you're like, oh, no, they didn't. Where when your perspective changes, you say, that's a hurt individual right there. Let me pray for them. Where even your offense level is like, it becomes almost non-existent, where you don't even get offended, where you get into mother mode. Say, oh man, what's going on with this person? They need some prayer. Something ain't right. And this person could really be like coming at you wrong or speaking crazy to you or whatever, and you don't even take it personal because your whole perspective has changed and shifted. So now your response is different. So your speech is different. And people are going to see that. They're going to be like, whoa, what happened to you? You're different. And you say, I'm changing. I'm changing for the better. And some people don't like that. Some people want you to stay where they're at. People don't like growth because now it makes them accountable. Now what's their excuse? If you're growing and changing and they're staying the same, they're still the same from 1998, now they feel some sort of way because, well, Tanya's sitting there changing, but, you know, now, gosh, I ain't got no excuse. When you staying the same, everything's the same, they feel good about this. I ain't got to change. I've been like this since 1998. And that's just who I'm going to be. They ain't got no example. And so you're going to see people even shy away because it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just that they're feeling convicted and they don't know how to handle it. Some people don't understand where conviction is coming from. They just be like, oh, Tanya, she makes me feel some sort of way. No, it's not Tanya making you feel some sort of way. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you. But you're trying to put it off on Tanya. She just being obedient, living her life like it's golden. You're feeling convicted and you're refusing to acknowledge that or have a conversation with God to say, why do I feel this way? And you're trying to put it off on her. And that will happen. And that's, you know, whatever. That's on them. You know, that's my attitude with people. If they don't like it, you know, I love you, pray for you. That's not my problem. I'm not going to make your problem mine. You just let them go. People want to leave, let them. Show them the door. Roll up the red carpet. Yep. Have a parade and a party. Bye-bye. It's been, you know, have a great life. Still going to pray for you and love you. But I'm not going to make your problem mine. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to hold you by the ankles. If you want to go, go. And let that be what that is. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for the shift in mentality, the growth in wisdom and knowledge, Father God. And we thank you that everything about Tanya is going to change. Everything. Mm-hmm. And people are going to see it in her speech because out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. And so as her heart changes, her speech changes. People are going to know what's inside of her because how she speaks, how she responds, what she says or what she doesn't say. Even her silence is speaking to where people will say things and she'll just be like, okay. And they say, you don't have nothing to say? No, I don't. I'm going to pray about it and let that be what that is. So even that's going to speak volumes to people. So Lord, we just thank you, and we thank you that she's the queen. She's the queen. She is the queen. And people will see that, identify that. They'll see Donald as the king and that she's the queen. And let people see that nobody could take her spot. They can't. That she's installed by you. You are Donald's God-given spouse. This wasn't some put together thing. It wasn't some the wind blew and now they're just what it is. It's a God thing. Every relationship's not put together by God, but this one is. And let people be able to see that. So they won't even try it. Because you have placed this together. And what you have placed together, let no man tear apart. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm. That's enough
to
chew on right there.
Mm-hmm.
Chew it slow.
I started sweating on that one. I'm literally sweating because I felt the fire of God on me. Like I'm sweating, and I'm sitting in front of a window, so it makes no sense because it's kind of cool. So that's how I know it's God flowing through me. But I'm sweating, so it's that serious. So you guys just be ready, just be prepared. You know, study the lives of people with money, because money changes you. Money does, power does. People start coming out the woodworks. There's stuff that starts to come out that, you know, you weren't exposed to before. And just the best thing is to be prepared and, you know, and just let God really be that third cord and wrap yourselves around them. So when people come in trying to be all slick and trying to get off, you know, when you get money and power too, you got all of a sudden, you got new friends. Everybody want to be your friend. You know, and they don't have good intentions. You know, and just, you know, you got to just pray wise prayers together as a couple, touch and agree that, Lord, if people come that's trying to be our friend and they don't have good intentions, let us see right through them. Let it be crystal clear. Where it's almost like instead of seeing a physical body, I see the word bad intention on legs. You know, let it be that clear. You know, pray about people trying to come in between your marriage, trying to cause wedges and stuff. You know, men trying to get in your ear, Tanya, and women trying to get in your ear, Donna. Pray about those things as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things that come, they are things that will come. The enemy is always going to try that. Mm-hmm. He's always going to try that. Oh. So he don't do new stuff, you know. He's an old enemy with old tricks. But you just pray and say, Lord, let's safeguard it now because you guys are the gatekeepers, right? It's like you guys are in a palace, and it's your job to fortify it and make sure, you know, put a moat in front of it so somebody try to come, they just fall in the moat and all, you know, seal the windows, whatever, put the alarm system, get the Ring doorbell, all that. It's your job as a couple to protect your kingdom and to protect your palace. And God will give you the wisdom on how to do that because it just comes with the tear. That comes against any marriage for the most part, but when you have those two things added to it, it just kind of kicks it up a couple notches.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, be mindful of that. Don't think, oh, it can never happen to me. You know how many people sang that song?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we're not going to do it as a family. You know, we're family. And we look out for one another. We sharpen one another. So as your sister in Christ, I tell you to fortify now. So that when it tries to come, when that big bad wolf tries to come blowing down your kingdom and your palace, it's not made out of straw. It's made out of concrete. So all he's going to do is walk away needing an inhaler. He ain't going to be able to get through. So do it now. Fortify. 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 Pray together. Read word together. Encourage one another. Speak life into one another. Be accountable to one another. Give each other passwords, all that. It don't matter if you trust each other. Do it anyway. As a safeguard to hold each other accountable. Man, if I even tried to sneak, my wife got all my passwords. Or even if I tried it, my husband, we don't do that. It's not a lack of trust. It's because we making sure. You know, we just keep each other accountable. That's what love does. Love keeps each other accountable. Love doesn't say that can never. We don't know. We never do that. Say we making sure. Because that's how strong our love is. We ensure. I remember a story. I'm going to tell you guys this real quick, and then we're probably going to wrap it up. But I remember I was working with this guy, and he just loved his wife. He's talking about his wife all the time, and I just loved it. I loved hearing it. I loved seeing men who love their wives, loved his wife. And he told me how one time this lady worked with him, and she was just an amazing lady, and he started having feelings for the lady. And I said, what? You started having feelings for the lady, but you love your wife so much. What happened? He said, I told my wife. I said, what? He said, I love my wife. He said, when I knew that something went right,
And I was like, looking forward to this lady, you know what I'm saying? Missing the smell of her perfume. Nah, I went and told my wife. I said, you told your wife? He said, yeah, because I love her. And I made myself accountable. He said, when my wife told me to do, I did it. His wife said, you better transfer your tail up out of there and don't talk to that lady no more. And he said, that's exactly what I did. And I said, I would never guess a man. I said, wait a minute, you started loving her this much after that? He said, no, I always had love for my, I love my wife, you know, just as much then as I do now, maybe more now. He said, so we wouldn't have no problems. There wasn't no issues, nothing. He said, but I just, you know, developed this relationship with this woman. It was all, you know, innocent and, you know, just cool coworker thing. And then I started feeling some sort of way and I knew it wasn't right. So I told my wife to hold myself accountable. And that was like one of the most real things I ever heard a man tell me. I mean, I respected that so much. And he said his wife didn't give him no static. He's a human being. But when he saw, hey, something's not clean in the milk, he told his wife. And his wife said, get up out of there and you avoid that lady like the plague. And he said he did. And he said that he had never had no contact with her. He didn't even see the lady no more. He did what needed to be done. But he told me the story to say that just because you love somebody don't mean that stuff ain't going to try to come and that you can't fall victim to it. And so you got to make yourself accountable. And that's what he did. And so make sure that you guys are always accountable to one another. And don't ever put yourself in a position where you feel like, well, I can't tell her because then she's going to blow up at me, or I can't tell him or he's going to get mad. No, you got to be each other's safe space. That even if it's hurtful, you got to still be able to feel like you could tell each other. Because a lot of the times, that's what happens in a marriage. Well, I don't want to tell her because then she's going to go all off on me. And then something happened. Well, why you didn't tell me? Because you're going to go off on me. But now what's happened is worse than the person going off. So you got to make sure that you you know that you guys are keeping yourself to where you're open. Where, yeah, I'm telling you, might not like it, but I'm telling her anyway, I don't care. And got to make yourself to be where Tanya, like, okay, I'm making sure my husband tells me things. I don't be going all off because I don't want to discourage him from being able to be open with me. Because you guys got to be each other's best friend, too. You know, it's more than just sharing a last name and a home and raising kids. You know, that's your ace boon. That's your bestie. You know, that's who it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to treat each other like that. Like, y'all friends, too, at the end of the day, and your brothers and sisters in Christ. So if one of y'all slip it, you gotta say, look, my brother, I know you're my husband, but you're my brother too. You slip it. Pray, let's do what needs to be done. You gotta have that kind of openness and that kind of relationship. So fortify. And be able to be honest and be receptive and make sure that you're allowing your spouse to be honest. Where you don't feel like, I don't know if I tell her, she's gonna bite my head off, or I don't know if I tell him this because then he's gonna go all the way off. Shouldn't be like that. It's like, okay, yeah, they're not going to like it, but I could tell my spouse this because I'm keeping myself accountable. Because for that man to be able to go to his wife and say, look, I'm feeling some sort of way about another lady and know that he was going to live and tell the tale the next day, that meant there was some serious trust, and that was really his friend because he was going to her for help, too. He wanted his wife's help and wisdom. And he trusted her. He said, what do I do? And he knew his wife wasn't going to go up to the job and try to beat nobody up. Because he said it wasn't inappropriate on the woman part. He was just feeling some sort of way. So that took a lot of trust and respect to be able to tell his wife that. And for her to just say, look here, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan. Not her feeling all ego bust. Oh, my husband likes another way. Nah, she like, look here, we can deal with that later. This is what we're going to do. He said his wife got into action mode. Tomorrow, you get put your transfer in. And then he said they did talk through. How did this happen? Is there some neglect? What's going on? You know, was you a little too open, too friendly? Like, how did it get here? And that takes some maturity to be able to do that. So that's what God is telling y'all. Be that couple. Be that couple. Where when people are coming to you and saying, hey, this is going on, with you, tell your wife, tell your husband, or however God leads you to do it. You know, or let's have a conversation. You know, don't sit there and tell me that you don't like your wife. Wait, let's have a conversation. Did you tell your wife that? or that your husband get on your nerves, or that somebody being lazy or whatever. These are things that you should be able to have honest conversations about. Terrence and I are very honest with one another. Mm. And some people go, oh, that's hurtful. It's the truth. The truth is what sets you free. The lies is going to keep you in bondage. And we're not here to keep each other in bondage, period. So if something ain't right and we see or identify something, we don't come all mean about it. You know, we come in love about it. Like, hey, it's time to have a tough conversation. But it's a conversation we're going to have. I don't care how tough it is. You tough, you're going to be okay. You know, if your feelings are hurt, you know, I'll patch your back, give you a Band-Aid, whatever you need. But we're going to have that conversation. And so that's what God is calling y'all to be, you know, because you guys are a kingdom couple. And you're going to have differences. That's just human.
Amen.
If you show me a couple that don't have differences, I'm going to show you a liar. Because every couple has differences.
Mm.
But you have to learn how to work with them.
Yeah.
You work with each other. I know I be getting on Terrence's nerves. And he be getting on mine. But I love him and we know how to work with one another. So that doesn't matter. You know, everybody going to get on somebody's nerves in some way, form, or fashion. I don't care who it is. You can love them to the moon and back, and something about them going to get on your nerves. That's probably not going to change.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just about being mindful. Where I'm like, okay, if I do this, I know I'm going to work his nerves. So let me just be mindful and try not to work his nerves today. Maybe tomorrow I will, but today I'll try not to. You know, that's just the way it is. Give and take.
I'll give him a break today.
Right. Don't let him make it today. You know, it's Wednesday. But Thursday, it's nah. Gonna be work. So, you know, you just got to have fun with each other, love each other, be honest. You know, that's what
she will. And she will do it, too.
I don't do it on purpose.
My Lord.
You know, but I can tell Terrence, Terrence has a face he makes that I'm getting on his nerves where I'm like, okay, I'm getting on his nerves. Let me just back up because he won't say nothing, but he got a very expressive face. Like, if this woman don't stop right now.
I'd be praying to your creator.
That's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, you better get him, Jesus. Before I do it. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's what we see for you guys. We're glad that you guys called in. We love you. We're always praying for you. We're going to clear off because Randy about to get on it. Call back. You know Randy pray over everybody on Wednesdays, and I'd just be so excited about that. Call back, press 1 so he can pray over you guys. For everybody else that called in, we know you got what you needed.
Amen.
You know, we love you all. We're praying for you. We're rooting for you. We're believing with you. We're standing in agreement, and we're fighting them demons with you.
Amen.
We're going to all win. That's just what that
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
We do it on PGN. We don't back down. We're about it. We're not just talking the talk. We walk the walk, too. So
Amen.
we're going to clear out, call back. Randy will be on in about 15 minutes or so. We love you all. Good night.
Good night.
I love you guys.
We love you. Good night.